find the word on my spirit this evening in Psalm 110. And we will read verse 4. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Psalm 110, verse 4. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Psalm 110 is a short psalm, 7 verses. And I think you'll find it's the most quoted psalm in the New Testament. There are more references to this psalm than any other portion of the Bible in the New Testament. So it gives us some indication of the importance of it and the deep truths in it. There are truths in this psalm that poor man will never fathom. The deep things of God. There is a psalm that's absolutely full of Christ. It speaks of his kingdom, his work, his conquests, his offices, who he is. If you turn just for a moment with me to the Gospel according to Matthew, look at chapter 22, the 22nd chapter in the book of Matthew. There, at the end of that chapter, you're in verse 41, we read, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? These Pharisees, some of them were lawyers. If you go back a few verses before, the Holy Spirit leaves that on record. One of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, verse 35. So they were educated men. These lawyers, they knew the scriptures. A lawyer in the New Testament was a man who knew much about both the Mosaic law and the Levitical law and the scriptures in the Old Testament. That was their profession. And that was their job. Well, the Lord was addressing them. Well, the Pharisees were gathered together. Jesus asked them, what think ye of Christ? There's a question. How do we answer it? What do we say to it? The word of God still puts it forth. What think ye of Christ? He goes on to say to them, whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. And this is what brought me to the passage. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, in the first verse of our psalm, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? No man was able to answer him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. They couldn't answer it. Man's in a solemn state that cannot answer that question. What think ye of Christ? The first verse of our psalm, speaking of our heavenly Melchizedek, really begins to speak of none but Christ. And they were perplexed, they walked away. I wonder how many here would walk away from that question. Would be unable to give an answer. Perhaps one would say nothing. But what think ye of Christ? Because the psalm is full of Christ. Melchizedek, as we shall see, was a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. What think ye of Christ? That's the test. As good Newton said, to try both our state and our scheme. Ye cannot be right in the rest unless ye think rightly of him. And they didn't think rightly of the Lord Jesus Christ, and nor do any of us by nature. And nor can any man until the Holy Spirit opens his eyes. The Lord makes it very clear in speaking to the Pharisees that David said, in spirit. And really, looking at that first verse, which speaks of the glorious person in our text this evening, Melchizedek, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. David says, the Lord, that's the mighty God, the eternal Father, said unto my Lord, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. What a deep verse. The Holy Spirit, as it were, draws the veil from what takes place in the Godhead, or has taken place in the Godhead. We have a little, as it were, of a conversation between God the Father and God the Son. Without any doubt, David was a Trinitarian. The Lord said, he said it in the Spirit. In Psalm 51, he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Way back in the days of David, he believed in God the Father, God the Son, and though not explicitly said in our psalm, but God the Holy Spirit. Why, had the Pharisees conceded to the truth of what Jesus put before them, which they didn't, that they would have had to confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal and divine, co-equal with the Father. And that was something they wouldn't confess. The very man was before them. They didn't know it. And he's before us each every time the Word of God is read. Every time the gospel's preached, Christ is there. If he's not, then the gospel's not preached. So what think ye of Christ? Well, as I said, our psalm is full of Christ. The scriptures are. He's everywhere, on every page. It's only our blind eyes that cannot see it. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. And again, we have the voice of the Father speaking to the Son. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, an eternal priest. And yet, if you think of it, Melchizedek was a man. So is Christ. Yet he's God. In our psalm, we have both the divinity and the Godhead of Christ and his sacred humanity. And that is what the Pharisees wouldn't confess, didn't believe. In effect, that's what the Lord brought before them, and they didn't ask him any more questions. They couldn't answer it. I would say, and I don't want to say anything that's not contained in Scripture, but those lawyers, or lawyer that was there, he knew about Psalm 110, he knew about Melchizedek, and probably the whole matter was a deep mystery to him, and that was it. But they couldn't answer. The Lord has sworn, and will not repent. Thou art a priest for ever, after the order of Melchizedek. So, in many ways, the depths of this psalm are beyond poor man to plummet. It takes us into the very Godhead. And what has taken place there? It speaks both of the priesthood of Christ and the kingdom of Christ and his kingly power. Melchizedek, what was his order? Well, Melchizedek was both a priest and a king. He fulfilled both of those offices, and he's the only man in Scripture to do so, except for Christ. Only Melchizedek. No other king could hold both of these offices. God forbade it. One king did. I think he was smitten with leprosy. God safeguarded it. The order of Melchizedek. As in our reading, the Apostle Paul, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 7 that we read together, the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, speaks wonderfully concerning Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, there's one of his offices. Priest of the Most High God, there's another of his offices, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem. So he was king of righteousness, king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. And there's the order of Melchizedek. It is without father. In a word, there's no record in Scripture of his lineage. If you turn to Genesis chapter 14, he mysteriously, shall I put it like that, appears on the page of Scripture. And then he goes. Way after the battle that Abraham had, there was a great battle between nine kings, eight kings, I think it was four on one side, three on the other. Abraham went to rescue Lot. It had been a time of conflict. And then Abraham returned from the battlefield, the conflict. Verse 18 in chapter 14, and Melchizedek is the first we hear of him. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Now he appears on Scripture, as the Apostle Paul says, without father, without mother. No mention in the Bible of them. It just appears. We're told that he was the priest of the Most High God. Must have been a godly man dwelling in the land where Abraham was. And of course he's a type of Christ. Abraham had been in conflict. He'd been in warfare. The story probably you all know, how he rescued Lot in all the trouble that he was in. But then Melchizedek met him. He brought forth bread and wine. And he was priest of the Most High God. He brought forth succor and comfort for him. What a beautiful type of Christ is Melchizedek. Abraham needed it. Melchizedek provided it. And perhaps you feel your need of such an high priest, of such a great king. How the Lord knows how to succor and to nurture his people. Come where they are. What I like here is Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought it forth. Paul in Hebrews says he met him. That is, Melchizedek met Abraham. Do you have any times in your experience when the Lord met with you? The old ones often used to use that saying, didn't they? I remember when the Lord met with me. I would think Abraham could remember when Melchizedek met with him and brought forth this bread and wine to nurture and to succor him. And more than that, he blessed him, Melchizedek. Why, he's the priest of the Most High God. He's a king to reign, reigned in Salem, king of peace. He's a priest to bless. And Melchizedek blessed Abraham. The point the apostle, of course, is making to the Hebrews, there's somebody greater than Abraham. They thought much of Abraham. But here we have a man who's greater than Abraham. Right back in the beginning of Scripture. The apostle goes on to say, the less is blessed of the better. In other words, Paul is saying Abraham was less than Melchizedek. He's the better. Again, a type of Christ and a believer. The less is blessed of the better. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. And he's gone. Till we get to Psalm 110. And again to Matthew 22. And again to those three chapters in Hebrews. 6, 7 and 8. Melchizedek is mentioned again. The point of course is, in the New Testament, he's Christ. A type of Christ. He's without successor. And our text tells us that. Thou art a priest forever. After the order of Melchizedek. More than that, the first part of our text tells us, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent. What, you'd have thought the oath of God was enough. And so it is. That Christ will be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. But the emphasis is, I will not repent. He'll never change it. It's unchangeable. And here we have the unchangeable priesthood of Christ. And God hath sworn Nothing can alter it. Nothing will alter it. It's impossible. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is the glorious person our psalm speaks of this evening. This is who Jesus was referring to when rebuking the Pharisees. And the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, takes it up in Hebrews, and there are three chapters quoting fairly well all the psalm. Such is the importance of this little psalm. So again, as we try to consider a few things in this portion, what think ye of Christ? Do you see Christ? Are our eyes open to see him? The Lord said unto my Lord. David could say, my Lord. This is my Lord. Like Thomas, when his eyes were opened, my Lord and my God. The Lord said unto my Lord. What a depth of divinity there is in those two words, my Lord. Jesus was his portion. Jesus was his Lord. Jesus was his Master. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. It speaks of the Lord resting, sitting at the right hand of the Father. What does that tell us? The work is finished. It is the work of salvation and redemption. It's finished. He now sits. David, by the Spirit, saw it. He now reigns and rules. Melchizedek. David, by the Spirit, saw it. Here's the person Jesus was referring to. There now reigns in glory a king and a priest. A king to reign, and he does reign, and a priest to intercede, whereby his dear people can approach unto him. They're just two of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has many more. David could not only say, my Lord, but he could say, the Lord is my shepherd. How could he say that? Look at verse 2, speaking again of Melchizedek. A heavenly Melchizedek. The Lord shall send the rod of strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. You know, thinking about that, that's one thing even David couldn't do. He subdued his enemies and ruled. But Christ rules in the midst of his enemies. This glorious priest will reign and rule forever. He rules in the midst of them. Every heart is at enmity against him. By nature, we're enemies of Christ, enemies of godliness. Oh, we can perhaps put on a bit of an outward show, but in our hearts, by nature, we're enemies. We don't like his word. We don't like his precepts. We don't like his ways. We don't like godliness. We like worldliness. We like carnal things. We like earthly things. That's man in his fallen state. But the Lord sends forth the rod of his strength out of Zion. What does that mean? The rod of his strength. Moses' rod, what did that do? Parted the waters, didn't it? Smote the rock. What does the rod of Christ breaks the heart, subdues the spirit? This glorious Melchizedek, he breaks the heart, subdues the spirit of man. and he rules in the midst of his enemies. That is, he, in the midst of this earth, there's an enmity with him. He comes and he rules. How? By grace. As the apostle said, by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself, and none can hinder him, and none can stop him, nor will any ever stop him. He puts forth his rod, and he rules it in the hearts of his dear children. He gathers them to himself. The next verse, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. I say, did the Lord ever meet with you, with me? Say, the apostle said he met with Abraham. God meets with us by way of salvation. He reigns and rules. Another power takes over in the soul of the sinner. It's the power of free and sovereign grace. The Lord puts forth his grace. What grace? That one sinner here might say, well, beloved, one grace will be repentance. And that will reign in your heart. If the Lord gives it, the Lamb is exalted, a prince and a saviour, to give repentance. And he gives that to his dear people. It's a heavenly gift, a choice gift. It may not feel like it when the Lord first gives it. It is a gift that we need every day. But the Lord gives this gift to his people in the new birth. And they feel their sins and realize that they're sinners and confess that they're sinners. This is when he puts forth his rod, this glorious peace. The appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but called by grace. The poor sinner's turned. Grace turns the sin. You have to flee the world. Flee worldliness. There's something working deep in the heart and the soul. And it's grace. At the beginning, a sinner begins to discern what he is. A lost sinner. A ruined sinner. And oh, how the sinner confesses it. And pours his heart out to the Lord. Oh, how he flees. Flees from the world. I remember in the days of my spiritual youth, now it must be 40 odd years ago, in such a state, I picked up, I think it was John Bunyan's Heavenly Footman. And in there, John Bunyan, he was describing the man fleeing to the city of refuge. He's describing a repenting sinner. And a few words in that little book still stick with me. It so suited me at the time. My spiritual condition. Bunyan said, never did I see a man running faster. Never did I see a man who felt he wasn't running fast enough. Oh, he couldn't get there quick enough. Fleeing from sin, fleeing from the world, fleeing from wrath to come. Fleeing where? To the city of refuge. Who to? Spiritually. Our heavenly Melchizedek. That's what happens when the Lord puts forth his power. And as we read with Abraham, he blessed him there. Can you remember a time, poor sinner, when you could say, the Lord blessed me there? That special time. When this glorious priest, precious Jesus, blessed us. And if you will exercise his priestly office, blessed us. What with? What's the blessing that's joined to repentance? What's the blessing alone that can prove we've repented? The Lamb is exalted, a prince and a saviour, to give repentance and forgiveness of sin. And what the Lord hath joined together, let not man put asunder. One is the proof of the other. Peace. through his blood, blood of our great high priest, our great Melchizedek, his precious blood, alone can cleanse away our sin, alone can make us fit for heaven. And the Lord said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And the sinner is. When the Lord puts forth his power, the sinner's made willing. Willing to repent. Why, sin carks right in our throat by nature. We can't spit it out, we can't swallow it. When heavenly repentance is given, it all comes out. Be willing. Willing to hide nothing. Willing, Lord, cleanse my whole life. Oh, it makes the sinner willing. It's not hard work to leave the place of sin when heavenly repentance is given. The sinner's willing to leave it and flees from it and flees to Christ. He comes in willing bonds. The Lord gives that. He's willing then to love the Lord Jesus Christ in the want of him. He's willing to embrace him by faith. He's willing to stretch out his hands after him. When the Lord gives this willingness, man cannot give it. Ah, but the Lord does. And he makes his people willing. And that they come to his dear feet, bow before him. And he blessed him there. Like Jacob at Peniel. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he blessed him there. So the Lord makes his dear people willing. He makes them willing to take up their cross and follow him. Willing to follow him in the path of baptism. Willing to sit at the Lord's Supper. Oh, this blessed, sacred willingness the Lord gives his dear people. He makes them willing. It's our great Melchizedek. There's no power like the power of Christ. There's nothing to be compared to it. The power of Christ. So, as we make a few remarks, and we cannot go through the whole psalm, it is full of Christ. The Lord take you by the hand of faith, beloved, and lead you into these sacred truths, for the time is ticking away. But just to return to our text, in perhaps a broader sense. You see, we've looked at the Apostle Paul very briefly, Hebrews chapter 7, speaking of Melchizedek. And then we've considered what he's speaking of in Genesis chapter 14, that type of Christ in Melchizedek. And this is the thought that crosses my mind. Thought of Abraham as he returned from the battle and Melchizedek meeting him. Can you think of a simpler scene? Just two. Abraham, the father of the faithful, and Melchizedek, just the two. And then we follow it right through Scripture. What's happening? Well, our heavenly Melchizedek is being revealed in types, shadows, prophecies. And you have all the ceremonial law, all that pertains to it. And we come right to the end of the Bible. And what is it? A poor sinner and a precious Christ. And that's it. Yes, there's much teaching in what's between. Don't misunderstand. It's full of Christ too. But you see, if we've got a religion like Abraham, father of the faithful, with so much to be thankful for, do you know what it is, poor sinner? To stand. And for Christ to appear. And for there just to be you and the Lord Jesus Christ. When a poor, guilty, wretched sinner is drawn to Christ, poor, broken, repenting sinner, it's just the sinner, and Christ. And that's it. This is a real religion. The sinner and Christ. I wonder if Abraham and Melchizedek, I wonder, be careful what I say, were perhaps standing in an open field when he met him. Did the Lord meet you like that? And hear your poor cry and bless you. Have mercy upon you. I shall never forget the morning, broken, wretched, weary, helpless, unworthy. Oh, what a state we were in. Perhaps something like Abraham coming from the battlefield, a spiritual one. And these few words, I still remember it so clearly, just fell from heaven. His visage was so marred, more than any man. Oh, I shall never forget those words. The peace, the pardoning love, a glimpse of our great high priest. His love, his mercy, all in a few moments. We were alone, like Abraham, like Melchizedek. Like the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road. That's a real religion. So you see the simplicity of it there in Genesis chapter 17. The simplicity of believing. The simplicity of the work of the Holy Spirit in a sinner's soul. The pure simplicity. The Apostle speaks of the simplicity of faith. It's rather like the woman with the issue of blood. Oh, how great her need was. How deep her need was. How the years had gone by in her affliction, her trial. How she had sought here, there and everywhere for a cure. But at the end, what was it? She came. She touched. She was made whole. Simple, isn't it? If you tarry till you're better, you'll never come at all. So we see the simplicity of it in Genesis, where this beautiful type unfolds. But now we have Jesus, our great Melchizedek, who is a priest forever. Isn't that a soul-comforting thought? Forever. Forever. Isn't this a soul-comforting thought, believer? Whom once he blessed, whom he blesses, blessed forever. David said that, I think, in Chronicles, didn't he? Whom the Lord blesses, he's blessed forever. These simple, profound, deep truths. And once he's blessed, they're eternal blessings. Because we have an everlasting high priest, an everlasting king. A divine king, yet a real man. He who is very God, very man. Oh, may we know something of the blessed truths in this psalm, wrought by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Because if we know something of them, beloved, there are eternal comforts in it. Oh, to know it. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.